make this a norm. Instead of us having to go through to remind what is we recommended last year, we'd like to know how they responded, it is better that they give us their responses beforehand. So when you make your input, can you please also respond or take us through your document just briefly? We've already got it. I went through it. I think for the members' attention, just to spark some. Before that, one in-house matter. Is there anybody here who's got an iPhone charger?
Probably
the first time in history I have. You got an iPhone charger? This one. Can I just borrow it? Sorry? My charger didn't work. Okay, can you just charge it? Is this one here? Four. Yeah, thank you. Okay, thank you very much for that. Now we will treat you very nicely for this morning. Forget the chair and the SGR. You ask any question, you put your hand up at any time, I will give you precedence, right? Okay, welcome everybody. David, we're waiting for you. And needless to say, SGR, we can't start without Linda Enso of Business Day. So on the rare occasion, she does get things wrong, but she won't agree, but that's fine. Here we are, over to you.
They're supposed to have a printout of the presentation. I'm sure they are just being brought through. Our office printing this should be in the corridor. See, I can just call and find out what's happening so that I shouldn't be too far from where I have to present. We have the team from Statistics South Africa, including young statisticians that are giving support both to the agenda summit that is happening just across the ICC. What is the message that you want to put across? I think there is the issue of the budget that has been allocated and the work that has to be done, like said the same. But I think rather than do that exclusively, you raise a few issues around the task of measurement and its responsibility. And the central message I think that you want to put across in relation to this is that the ability, or rather the availability of information, enables us to think ahead, to visualize and bring that future closer and start working that future. That is the possibility that it provides. The reality is that we continue to think physically. And by thinking physically, we are unable to move into the future and see that future. And put faith the ability of facts to provide a predictable environment and to use those facts as things that can enable the audience and the people the possibility of thinking that indeed their time will come. And that, I think, is the big problem. So the use of data is very important across sectors of government and society in order to create an environment in which they can visualize progressive delivery, either of services or whatever it is that it is that all. And that is not possible. So that's really the central message of the presentation. Now, we'll talk to what the mandate of official statistics is, and we'll talk raise what is not raised. We'll talk about what needs to change and what is the strategy for leading that change. And then go into how we will deliver the mandate. And then what would be the impact of this strategy? If there is that around the okay. Apologies, the printouts are taking slightly longer. Well, looking at the mandate for fiscal statistics, we start with the fundamental principles. There are 10 of them. And there's one principle that I've been working on most of the time. And this is principle 4, which entitles the statistician general to pronounce on wrong use of statistics. And in many instances, I've been at war with the academia practitioners of statistics and indicating how wrong they are in the way they deal with statistics. I've not had the fortune of arguing with politicians on how they use statistics. But these 10 principles are so critical in terms of ensuring that the production of statistics is autonomous to promote the use of statistics. The African Charter on Statistics, that will soon serve before Parliament and will require to be ratified. It upholds the same 10 principles. The Statistics Act, which you members of the House in 1999, Act 6, you promulgated, is the act that is governing. It has been good for us over the last 15 years, and now it needs to be revised. And in terms of that Statistics Act, we talk about statistical production, statistical coordination. We have not as yet talked about statistical supervision, which is a very, very important force for compliance. Because in the absence of compliance, or enabling environment for compliance, we will not implement those intentions that we need to implement fully. So we'll be approaching you in this year in our legislative program to look at the review and the revision of the Statistics Act. Statistics, as I said, and in my opening remarks, are good for transparency and a good answer. The question is ensuring that you are transparent in the answer. That's an answer to a question. It enforces accountability and makes results visible. And of course, statistics drives transformation. By doing that, you generate the environment for a predictable space within which sensible discussions can be held. In the absence of facts, anything goes. We can be entitled to our opinions and everything, but no one has their own facts. So the issue of facts is very important. If we have to look at the reality in South Africa on the ground, over the last number of years, including from 1994, there are a number of things that have happened. We know that 18.3 million people are employed. The unemployment rate is 25%. We know that inequality or poverty has been reduced, although inequality has remained very intractable, as we can see it on the Gini coefficient that we have here. We know that ownership has actually improved over time in South Africa. We also know that access to basic services, such as water since 1996, has improved dramatically, from pipe water to electricity to sanitation. All these are things that have improved dramatically over the last 10 years, including provision of housing to 1.5 million houses. Now, I'm a statistician, I can only measure, and I can also compare. In terms of this record, only probably the Marshall Plan came close to this kind of figure. Yet, despite this evidence of service delivery, we have service delivery process, we have vacant RDP houses, we also have reinforced partial apartheid settlement passes. These are being reinforced at the moment. We haven't tackled that special parties of our parties. They are being reinforced. We are having rapidly declining household size. All this work in unison probably defeat the development effort. And I think this is something that the data has to be looked at and say, what is it that is defeating the intention of government? Now, what is not working? You look at the MTSS and the NDP. I think there are two documents that have been absolutely life-changing in South Africa. The one is the RDP document and the NDP. Those documents in relation to the personal working statistics are documents that give a framework within which the production of evidence can be implemented. There aren't any other documents in the country that have provided that sense of how the governance of statistics should be implemented. Now, given that these are the documents that have helped us have statistical reform, and the statistics that you see, and see data, there are new things that we see as not working. The MTSS has limitations in regards to the implementation of them. Probably necessarily because these things are still new. But I think that there are more fundamental problems. However, the MTSS is not contradicting the NDP. Obviously, the MTSS, that's what has to be done, but it's the extra layer. And I'm sure every department throws something into the NDP, comes with something relevant from the NDP. It's one thing to do that. It's another to say, here is the NDP, and this is the driving force. To the extent that the driving force is the MTSS implementing the priorities and the priorities of the NDP. What is clear is that the goals and targets in the NDP are clear, but the method and indicators to inform progress are woefully inadequate, ensuring or rendering the monitoring of the implementation of the NDP. I wouldn't like to say, but they don't provide the instruments by which the NDP should be. So the absence of an evidence framework undermines the credibility of good intentions and action. That's really the central message that we want to put before yourself. But having said that, we want to be useful. And we have just done an assessment on the National Development Plan, the number of NDP indicators, and indicators that match with the NDP indicators. At the minimum, the MTSS indicators must equal the NDP indicators. They cannot be fewer. If there are fewer, it means then there are goals in the NDP that are not being monitored, or targets in the NDP that are not monitored. So if you look at that table, you see that there are almost half the number of what is in the NDP. So to a large extent, while the MTSF doesn't contradict, the NDP suggests that we are doing business as usual. That's what this is saying. Now, what is to be done and how we fix it? How we fix it is to seek alignment. And we should obtain credible statistics, both from administrative records and from families. That actually ensures that we are in sync and driving it. So, the MDP and the MTSS must be in sync and one in terms of. And the measurement must be aligned. And this is a measurement scheme. You find that there is all the national statistics systems, all the systems of evidence that should inform. Of course, there are new things, new challenges, there are new sources of data, there are new concepts such as data revolution. South Africa put me among the 25 members of the panel of the United Nations Secretary General report on data revolution, except in that. And that document looks at what are the emerging needs, what are the new data sources, and how should those be incorporated. And what we need in the system of evidence, we must be aligned to these new forms of evidence. we have the measurable development outcomes and statistical things that try to measure those measurable development outcomes. For instance, in quality of basic education, skills and capable workforce, living conditions, service delivery, and poverty as the responses to this. And we say that the population dynamics in relation to this measurable development outcome, this is the response of the SA. Now, what is the framework for the national statistics system or the system of evidence that should drive the NDP? The SA produces some statistics. Other line ministries produce statistics or produce administrative records. And those administrative records have to be transformed into statistics. When there's no alignment between those administrative records and the measurement, then you get this disjunction. So what needs to be done is to ensure that the statistical things are all aligned, both from administrative records. For instance, the person who works at Home Affairs issues passports and issues permits. On the basis of those passports and the permits, which happen across time, is the process that those should be transformed into statistics that inform the South Africa about where it is. What is the immediate way forward on this? On the question of the immediate way forward, as the Minister in Presidency has already given matching orders on this, and in the next 2 weeks, we'll be looking at locating the NDP as the deliverer of MTSS and all other plans in terms of the indicator, aligning, seeking alignment and saying this is the alignment that is required. The PME and the SA will work on the NDP indicators, leading the measurement of change through engagement with line ministries to ensure that this alignment. This is a task that needs to be handled. And then we set NDP indicators as well as the SDG, sustainable development goals indicators, and of course, within the SDGs. And then in the July cabinet, of course, we must design this framework. You see, in order to drive the NDP, this is how this should be done. That's the task that we need to do. Now, there is the SMARTIS, and I hope that I'll pretend that you read that small handwriting. These are the SDG goals, the sustainable development goals, which are 17 in all. And then the targets which are 159. We are waiting on the problem of generating indicators for this. We have started working on this, and that process is the one that made us look at the gaps between the NDP and MTSF. Now, what we need to address this problem, we have given you the immediate things that we are going to do, leading to the title of Cabinet Lokota in July. But we also need to give you a trajectory of how the organization has been performing, because the question might be, why do you think you can actually handle this task? I think at times you have to look at the history of performance to know that you have the potential to actually handle the task. What we have been at the statistics office, starting from 1994 up to now, there has been a lot of change, and those changes have been managed and led. And indeed, if we look at where we are on phase four, working actively with people to whom we deliver statistics, we have actually worked hard on that as well. Not that we didn't have our bad patches in the history, including integrity of the numbers. Those of you who had their bonds in 2003, you will know that we messed up the consumer price index, leading to you paying a lot of bonds at that time. Well, unfortunately, because we are autonomous, there is no relief, because all relief could be obtained from treasury. Were we belonging to treasury, there would be relief. But we don't belong to treasury. When we have made a mistake in the number of treasury, boldly said, go and talk to the statistician general, or go and talk to the check mouse and see whether we can get your money back. So we've had this patches of bad history that we have outgrown all of that history. Not that mistakes will not happen in the future, they will. But the important thing is to know how it happened. If you can't know how it happened, then the plan is there. But when you know that how it happened, so the guarantee that you can provide this house is that our plans are strong, and if anything happens, you can be able to trace back and say this is where the weakness was. Now, as we move to 2015, 2019, this is what we are saying, that in order for the NDP to be a measurable driver of change, there are certain things that we have to do. And those things we'll be doing from 2015, 2019, so that this growth through coordination and collaboration becomes a reality. But for it to happen, you need to change the legislation so that you can have the possibility of enforcement. So what is our strategy? Most of the time we said the vision of the organization is a lead partner in something, something, and I said, but this thing doesn't sound quite right. I think there's something that we do that is not the truth. And that thing that we do, and the promise, is to deliver the South Africa I know, the home I understand. At any given time, that's what this information provides, the South Africa I know, the whom I understand. In order that anyone at any point in time understands that. And then, of course, our mission is to lead and partner in statistical systems and products for evidence-based decision-making. What we'll be achieving in the next 5 years is to inform the nation to have statistics as trusted products, because it depends on public trust in these numbers. We'll need to partner in statistics. We are a capable organization, and increasingly so. And of course, we become that because we lead. And how are we going to change our businesses in terms of production processes? Those have to change fundamentally. And of course, the statistical coordination, which will ensure that we can enforce compliance and we can supervise the system. We have to invest in IT systems because there is big data. We have to invest in people, and we do that aggressively. And of course, the organization and environment. In terms of informing the nation, then how are we going to achieve this? The statistical data to expand. And indeed, we have rapidly expanded this. We continue to publish 200 statistical releases, but in the way we publish them, we actually combine across these releases to get meaning so that we can provide the South Africa I know, the whom I understand. We need to develop new and innovative products, and this is how the integration is taking place of various data sources and the statistician general's office and the policy and the data integration program in my office. And then, of course, we have to revolutionize data systems by looking at other sources, new sources of data that are produced by mobile devices, and looking at big data and administrative data. The point about looking at administrative data is this. Our measurements framework over a long period of time has been about their cycles instead of structure. A development framework and the national development plan is about structure. It doesn't negate cycles, but in it you need structure. Industrial structure, people structure, all those are things that have to be measured. And for that to happen, you need administrative record. In addition, to your targets, which actually measure what progress, what cycles are taking place. So schools and children have to be registered. Patients have to be registered. Everything has to be registered, and we have to have those registers in order to address the demand of the national government. You see, the point is, if you have a bank, and you have to ask the question, how is it that a development cost at income? Yes, how do you transform that into a development cost? I was in Bashi, and when I arrived there, action. You know, you see cockroaches flying, and you see that there is action here. You see fields plowed, and you see people who actually qualify from death. But I'm sure in the incentive process of farming and doing everything there, they must be apportioning part of their debt into the family. So it's not just intent and you know, that social pension, but it is transformed into something productive. So these are the kinds of things when you have administrative records, you can track those kinds of things and say, how are these things being transformative? You go to other places, there are no cocks, there are no hens, and you don't see any chasing around. It shows there's life in the place. How will we deliver this program? I mean, how did South Africa's economy perform in 2015, 2016, or rather 2014? What we do know, in terms of the performance of South Africa's economy, is that we had the longest strike, 5-month strike last year in mining. That was followed by manufacturing strike. And of course, the threat of the public service strike there. But we know the consequences of that is that the growth in mining declines to the lowest level, and that's a consequence. And when we ended 2014, the growth was 1.4%. So this we know in 2014. Now the question in relation to the NDP is in the context of that. How do we generate 6 million job opportunities? And what needs to be done? Because if we follow the target and the goals with a set of indicators and with the environment as it is, we have to say, what are the things that we have to change in order to achieve this? And those things have to be tightly coded. That's why we are saying that the NDP must be tied to the MTSF and must be tied to all actions that are taken. The way we monitor the problem of action is through some 980 statements. And statements are not indicators. How will we deliver in terms of this in 2015-16? We know that in 2001-2011, poverty has actually been reduced in South Africa. In fact, if you look at the dollar a day, it has been halved. From 17% to 8%. In terms of children attending low school fees, schools, that is almost getting close to about 60% employment numbers, 15.3 million people employed. In terms of economics, there's one thing that we are trying to measure, and we have not been measuring that well. Or rather didn't fall under the same roof, which is the GDP. We did the two sides, which is income and production. We didn't do expenditure. This we are waiting with the Reserve Bank to look at GDPE, which is the expenditure side that we have consulted quite extensively. And next year, by March, this function will be under one roof. We expect that flexible process and doing expenditure side aside will also enable us to look at merchandise trade, because some of the things that tell us what to produce are based on merchandise trade. And in terms of merchandise, you should know that this one has been produced at a particular place, at a particular price. So you need to know items at the detailed level, especially those that you import. Because on the basis of what you import, on the basis of what you consume, which either you produce locally or you import, you have a better strategy in terms of your industrialization and looking forward. So you'll be releasing published estimates in March 2016. So we are engaging with relevant parties. In terms of cluster statistics, we have to innovate. and we have to innovate at the level of the value chain. And our value chain, as I said, is not about shoot, retain, cycle, which is what we have been doing all the time. But now we must inject in that system structure, because a structure that is administrative record. We need to increase the use of statistics. I don't think honorable members statistics are used. We don't use it yet. We feel it here. And then we there is no use of statistics, I must say. I don't see it. And we have to ensure that what this day is, we have to ensure that we have done all we can as statisticians to put the numbers at the table of policy for policy to use them. The NDP, as I said, and the RDP are two documents that are the Bible of any statistician, because they provide a framework within which production of statistics and use is facilitated. They are the best frameworks for statistical production. So we have got this framework, and that's why you see us blossoming and running into through that door to ensure that we see what we have to deliver. We have to designate statistics as official. So it means that we are tapping into that administrative record, transform them into statistical systems. And of course, we need to adopt international standards, which is the international statistical the standards for industrial classification 4. The economy has changed, the structure of the economy has changed, and we need to adopt into that new structure that has changed, including the environmental, economic environmental statistics. These environmental statistics are very, very important, because the Sustainable Development Goals have brought a new estate, which is the environment. And once the environment, production systems were just labor and capital. Now, environment and natural capital are into the fore. And once that comes in, it needs new measurement systems on water, on marines, on our assets, the energy weather mines, all that coming, and we have to do that. How will we deliver? One of the key things that will be delivered is the community service. The community survey is bigger, better, faster, and cheaper. I think those of us who can remember Karen Mon on January 8th, or was it January 2007, Karen Mon, the very vibrant and successful journalist at the time then, came up with the headline, Statistics of Africa has wasted money, cancelled $600 million come the day. That was the community that they had read the report by council, and she had said money has been lost, etc. Indeed, there was nothing far from the truth than what Karen Mon popularized at the moment, at that time. Council has simply said, this is what the committee survey has said, statistics of Africa has presented this before us. Here are where there are problems with the data. And in our practice of statistics, we make transparent those weaknesses in the system so that the user should exercise caution in the use of some of the statistics. And indeed, one of the problems that were there was that you couldn't estimate accurately lower levels of geography in terms of the CS in 2007. You could work with bigger municipalities, but smaller ones not. Now, what have we done? We are guaranteeing that there is something in every small municipality so that you can estimate for those small municipalities. At the time, the budget that is required for doing that equal to the census money itself. Now this time around we can do that quite effectively with the use of technology. And with the use of technology and using the budget, you remove a whole range of management, tires and tires of management. You remove a whole range of transport. You remove a whole range of materials that have to be there. This is the innovation that has come. And through that innovation, well, at that time it was 608 million rand, which was the headline figure that Karen Moon correctly stated. This time around, we lose 500 million, which is a number of years later, 10 years later, we are using 500 million, and if you look at that, it's a third of what we use there. But it's a three times, four times the sample size. But delivering faster and better and much stronger estimates at lower levels of geography. So this is a major, major, major breakthrough in terms of how we will produce statistics through that, right? Engaging technology. Because in the previous time, you have tells to create it to be that, not that they will not be there, but they will be greatly reduced. And you even pay the human rights debt.
Algeria, where African politicians will be sitting together
looking at the indicators. Once we are out of there, we have to present these indicators to the head of state meeting session here in South Africa in June, and then onwards to the financing for development. And these indicators have to be costed. The collection processes of this has to be costed. The Africa position on measurement has not been costed, and we are likely to go there. We start saying to the financing for development agenda how much your decision costs. So as politicians, we are working on the indicators, costing them, so that you say here is our strategy for harmonization of statistics in Africa. This is how we prioritize them, and this is what it will cost, so that national governments can act on this, and those who want to help and donate and know that they donate on the African platform, not on anybody else's platform. Because at the moment, everybody is calculating this and saying this is how much it will cost. But they don't have a strategy. Now, once there is no strategy, money will flow in and flow out any other direction. And that's a big danger. And of course, we will be placing this indicator before the United Nations Statistics Commission, and then from March 2016, we'll start measuring. A capable organization, how do we do this? Legislative reform is one way in which, and we have to review the Statistics Act, and we'll be coming to you, honorable members, in terms of reviewing the legislation. Of course, the issue of profession itself is the most important, and we'll strengthen that profession. We also enhance corporate governance and administration by improving on accountability. We also have a new building at the Freedom Park. We say that information is freedom. That's how we link the Freedom Park and statistics of money. Freedom Park is up there, statistics of Africa is below, it's in the line of sight of Union Buildings. All those are all in the line of sight. So the physical environment transforms the metaphor for accountability and ensuring that information is freedom. We inform invest in ICT so that we can be operationally efficient and, of course, sustainable statistical infrastructure, so that across government departments and across the country, we have the necessary people that will do that. On legislative reform, there are five things that we have. The statistical geography, coordination mechanisms and compliance, data revolution, statewide statistical studies. Yesterday we were in Tarasalam, and the former head of statistics, UK, was saying that in addition to the statistics office that she ran, she had 28,000 staff members distributed across the government departments that she had to supervise. In 1998, when we met at the hotel just outside Logan, I had a flying guest that we need 35,000 people across government who should be waiting on statistics. That's what I flagged, and we never acted on that activity. And we need to get those number of people trained and capable so that the organization can be capable. And we need institutional arrangements and protocols so that we are able to enforce compliance. Well, this is a new building. It will be finished in June, and Peter Say will be moving into this new building in June at Freedom Park. At the moment, and one of the things that I have to bring to your attention, this PPP, from conception to building, has taken us just under 2 years. So over a period of 3 years from conception to finishing the building, it's a record. And it shows the capacity and the capability of this organization to drive things. Mm-hmm. Well, let me qualify that. We had hoped that we had a building from 2005. It didn't happen. And we abandoned the project. And 2 years ago, we said we want to go into this. And from beginning to end, things have moved clockwise. And this has been the shortest PPT arrangement that we have had. We can provide our knowledge and competencies to other government departments in order that government incorporated should benefit from what we have done. On the leadership, we have to invest in statistical leadership. This thing needs leaders. And we need future statisticians. I've been in this position now for 15 years. And we need to grow the leadership and the pipeline of skills, both inside the organization and outside. And of course, we need to be building a united and diverse organization. And we have engaged on an agenda for change. Not new. We started it in 2001, and we have revived it again. How will we deliver the work program on the skills pipeline? In particular, leadership, at schools, at tertiary, these are the activities that we will be doing, including a better. We want to recruit at high school. Every year, about 150 people retire from standard day. Every year, we must recruit 150 children who have reached matric into the organization, to the university, so that they spend 4 years doing their degree, 2 years doing internship. We have 6 years to choose who we want to appoint. And there's nothing, if we go wrong in choosing over 6 years, then we have to know who. I mean, it doesn't take that long to choose a life partner. Now, and in terms of agenda for change and transformation, this is how we are looking at how the change should occur in the organization. And we have a team that is chaired by Edward Zeneca and Mubango Mulava, which looks at this agenda for change. Didn't you mean we were at each other's neck in the organization? We had our statutes in 2014. We were hoping that we could commemorate or celebrate or have 100 years of statistical practice in South Africa. That polarized the organization. And he said, this thing that polarizes us, we now have to look at it and confront it sober. We didn't commemorate the 100 years because it was really a conflicting point, but we opened it up to us. And then we got this team to say, where did we go wrong to suggest, even suggest? Where were the blind spots? So we had a statute. So, Chair, as we jump forward, we put youth at the center by focusing on the end in mind. The legislative reform will drive us a long way. Investing in growth and coordination and transforming through innovation is how we will do achieve what we want to achieve. In relation to how we will actually be acting, we will be largely acting here at the impact level. The production systems, as far as inputs and processes, don't make that bad. What we need to do now is to put the table on top and then do the dance. And that dancing means interfacing with policy, explaining the statistics in the way it is, visualizing and making sure that the statistics are used. Chair, the national agenda is a better life for all. And through driving stats, which is statistics for transparency, accountability, results, and transformation, is the way we will go. Because through this, we can provide possibilities and guarantees with a predictable form of system for our country and our people. So, by reducing poverty and creating equality, we can ensure that there is a better life for all in South Africa. And statistics and systems of evidence are central to ensuring that that happens. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We must please be aware that we have this memo from the Statistics South Africa, which deals with the recommendation. to tackle that, because as we've said, we shouldn't start from the abstract. We should start from where we left off as well and follow up on what's been done since the last time SSA appeared before our committee. And it, you might have to take us through that before we, not might, you will have to take us through that before we end. So that we also have Bridget here, our researcher. We thought you were going to leave, but we thank you for coming. As you know, you're not on any trip to come. We negotiate for all of that. Over to the members. Sorry? Sorry? Well, people are free to do that. I'm more careful because it's about substance too, not just style. And we must interrogate things. No, I observe that, but we must interrogate things as rigorously as we do any other person. So the SG is a very striking, colorful, charismatic character. And that's very good because it's unusual, SG, in my view, to have statisticians general who, usually the image of an SG is of a dull, ponderous, you know, figure-driven person, you know, who's like an accountant. But I must say, you are delighted to actually listen to and engage with, and your yellow outfit I thought was superb, actually. I wish people who have images that I have of you in a different role than I'm playing. They're distracting from what Dion George and what he's doing out there at the moment. But sorry? All right. Okay, so I saw Pinky's hand up, and I saw Makosi, and now I see Tandy, and then there's David, and there's Tikaleri, and then there's again. So you know the order in which you speak, right? Thank you.
Sir, thank you very much. Let me really welcome a very comprehensive presentation that was done by the SG. It really shows effort and teamwork and everything that the office of the SG and his entire team put together to make sure that as members, we are able to analyze the situation where we are and be able to make the way forward. Just a few things, Chair. And I'm not going to go through the how the SG was presenting according to the system that he was using. There's one page that struck me very, very seriously. And that's a dark page written, The Assessment Revealed, which speaks about the National Development Plan and how the MTSF indicators correlate or match each other. It's a very worrying scenario, Chair, from what the SG has also indicated. And I think it's a cause for concern for us as well as members of this Standing Committee on Finance. One, Chair, is around the fact that currently we're in the process of adopting budgets, APPs have been drawn, and the revelation by the SG is that it's like it's business as usual. The APPs are not talking to how they will also practically respond to some of the priorities of the NDP. Well, we find solace in what the SG says, that in the next Lekhotla, there will be some level of consideration on how they would readjust, the departments would readjust some of the things to start to talk to the priorities of the NDP. But Chair, if you look at the presentation of the SG, I am not sure on how far this analysis speaks to the compliance by provinces in the same scenario and municipalities. Remember, in May, municipalities are adopting their IGPs. How far will this speak to the situation and scenarios in municipalities? Will be another cause for concern. So I'm just saying, here we may be given a national picture, and I'm talking under correction, but it would also be interesting to see how the SG's office was able to analyze provincial situations and municipal situations. Probably the community survey that is also going to municipalities will also be able to tell us more about that. But the other issue, Chair, that also is becoming a worry, and which I think going forward, it will be a need for the SG's office to also look at that, is Chapter 6 of the NDP, which talks about an integrated and inclusive rural economy. If you look at the indicators and how far government is matching on that situation as well, it's very worrying. Because you have bigger provinces like Eastern Cape, KZN, and Limpopo, and to some extent Mpumalanga in Northwest, which are predominantly rural, and if some of the things that you are talking to were not responding adequately, it comes back to that situation of rural-urban migration, and once it does that, people go to urban areas to want to start to seek employment, and it becomes burdensome to some of those things. So some of those things really, and thanks to KZN for being proactive and looking at wanting to see how far they are dealing with some of these things through what they have requested the SG's office, just to look at customer satisfaction survey. Maybe that will also, to some extent, talk to some of the things that they may be wanting to. But I'm saying, Chair, that Chapter 6 is a serious cause for concern, and given the challenges that we are confronted with as South Africa now, especially in the past 2-3 weeks, it becomes very critical for national government to look at. It will be interesting to hear what the monitoring and evaluation department is doing to make sure that this alignment of our MTSF and the NDP, and how they then use the information from the Statistics General Office to really respond adequately into some of these things. That this then becomes something very critical, which MNE in the presidency will also have to look at. I would want, Chair, if it's possible, this is my last comment on legislative reform, which I think it was more inward, but I thought maybe also from the statistics general, if some level of assessment can be done on what the impact of the Division of Revenue Act to whether it is adequately dealing with some of the things and interventions, especially at municipal level and provincial level, whether is there no need to change the norms and standards around that. Remember, there are also municipalities that do not have a revenue base that would also depend squarely on grants or whatever that comes from DORA. And is it adequate enough to deal with some of these things given the challenges that you and the picture that you have just given? Because I had thought, as you look at legislative reform, you may also look at some of the legislations that are there that may be used as tools to turn the situation around, and using your scientific information that can also assist government to assess whether there's a need for us to change and look at some of the things differently. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. I'm reluctant to call you SG. For a number of reasons that I'm not going to share with you. But on a serious note, I always look forward to listening to you because you leave me with a lot of thinking to do, and I actually realize as a politician that we have the political power, but I'm not sure if we are transforming it into an appreciating asset, you know, because you offer the power that you have. If you transform it into an appreciating asset, you will make sure that whatever policies that you are making, you know, they speak to the power that you have and so forth. But the first question that I have, I just want to find out from you whether does Statistics South Africa have a structured relationship with your performance monitoring and evaluation departments? And I'll tell you why I am asking you that question. You see, my experience with having worked with municipalities is that when people appoint the people in those positions, they never really take into account that you essentially need somebody who is glued up with statistics. Because how else are you going to monitor and evaluate the performance unless you understand the role of statistics in what you do? Hence, we end up with municipal managers and whatever, heads of departments and whatever, getting all these lucrative bonuses. But you don't have, you know, empirical evidence to support their claim that they have delivered. And to me, the statistics are actually, if I had my way, I would actually, the excitement that comes with the Auditor General when he pronounces, I would actually love to see that excitement coming with when the statistics are coming out to actually say which department has performed. Because statistics don't lie. They don't lie. They're scientific. And you can't lie about them. And whereas other forms of measuring performance and so forth, there is a way of tweaking it and, you know, to make sure that it actually... I once looked at some performances, Chair. A performance management agreement, it has been included in the number of the meetings that a person attends. And that is the problem. And this is why I want to know whether you have a structured relationship. I know that you said they have been the minister in the presidency, there is something coming there. But I want to know, is there something structured? Because we need something structured. And further to that, I also think that I need you to comment on whether you actually have looked at the profile of those that are employed to monitor the performance at every level in government, you know? Because to me, I think it's going to be absolutely important that we begin to capacitate those people and we begin to assist them to develop the kind of independence and the kind of, you know, the factual approach to whatever that they are doing, you know, so that at the end of the day, our statistics are not just going to be about what is happening, because contrary to what you say, I think they do use statistics, but they use statistics for the wrong reasons. They use statistics to ask for more money. And I would like that picture to change, where people are using statistics not just to ask for more money, but to actually say what I have done in terms of really delivering on the NDP, delivering on the IDP, delivering on whatever else. So that should be my first set of questions. But the second one, I wanted you to clarify that slide to me. As I said, you are guilty of leaving me with a lot of thinking to do. When you came to, when you addressed us in the National Assembly a few days ago, you left me with a lot of thinking to do. And today I see that you have a slide there, the second slide, I think, where you have a house where you say fully owned, 55% renting. I'm not sure if you're talking about property ownership. And the reason why I'm very interested in you in actually unpacking that for me, I want you to unpack it in terms of the racial profile of that ownership and the geographic profile. Now, I also want to say, I also wanted to find a way of probably trying to check whether our policies indeed are talking to the realities on the ground. And I will give you a very good example why I'm interested in this. You know, we have a lot of in KwaZulu-Natal, I'm from KwaZulu. Okay, that's her. And we have a lot of land that is under Ingonyama Trust. And one of the things that always troubles me, and please, Comrade Yunis, you are not supposed to tell anybody about what I'm saying here, because this is something that I'm going to be in trouble with the king if I say so, you know? But the thing that I want to say is that you have that a lot of land which is under Ingonyama Trust and so forth. And the people are building absolutely beautiful houses now. But they don't own that land. They have permission to occupy. And to me, that's not ownership. Ownership has to do with having that asset, appreciating for you, being able to use that asset as a collateral, being able to grow yourself and so forth. And now I'm not sure whether this area that you, this particular slide here, is speaking about it. And this is why I want to know it, the racial profile and so forth, and the geographic profile, because I want to know what are we doing about that. Because to me, I think we would have really affirmed a lot of people, economically speaking, yet we actually appreciated the power of ownership. Because we don't even own the knowledge that we have in our heads. And that's something that troubles me. And thanks to you for provoking me in the last few days, because I began to think a lot about, do we really own even the things that go into our heads? Do we really appreciate that these statistics are actually an asset for us that we can use to change to turn our situation around? And the final one, I wanted to say, there is something that you've actually said, in fact, that actually became like my best slide, where you actually deal with I'll tell you now. Okay. I'll tell you now, just wait. there is something that you said about the increase of the use will you achieve the strategic outcome? And one of the things you say is increase the use of statistics. I think there is something even bigger there, because if I were to recommend it to the committee, I would love us to probably resolve as a committee so that we can track this, where there is a specific program that deals primarily with the use of statistics correctly and with even the way the relationship is, the structuring of the relationship with the various the units and departments that are dealing with performance monitoring and evaluation. And the chair, I suspect that in my former life I was a preacher, but in this life I'm a typical politician. Thank you, sir.
Next, whoever.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you, Mr. Chief, for a very informative presentation once again. Excuse me, are you sorry? Thank you, Tom. Oh, I thought that was the sequence, sorry. But I must have. Please go first. Thank you.
I have a very positive effect here. I influence the energy.
part of it when people need more resources. But
in a success rate, it's used for buoyancy to say this is what we have achieved. Now, if you just suppose that with three basic things, poverty, inequality, and unemployment, we should be able to influence the plans based on what the statistics has presented to us. So you raise a very fundamental question of synergy between MTSF and the NDP. That is the debate. The debate is at what point when government departments are reporting about programs, are they going to relate to what has been said in the National Development Plan? Now, you are taking that into the presidency, you see. You are giving that opportunity to actually go and present there at the heart of things, those challenges. So to me, it's a good move, because you'll be able to make these presentations of the realities captured on the ground and what should influence the plan. And you're going to be met with a lot of resistance. You see, if you say, and I'm going to be a little bit blunt, if you say crime has increased and you give your statistics, somebody will give you a different presentation and say, no, in terms of what we have done, this is what we think is the problem. So I think your colorfulness will come into the picture here, because you will use your mathematician experience to try to articulate the point. I'm very sorry for Kifido. You must win center. She will not win. She will not win. For many various reasons, I've seen a young woman one day trying to make a point about broadband, and she did not see the light of day, you see. And she was presenting facts. She did not. So the colorfulness and the height of the statistician general will help us in this court. Now, the other point I want to make. No, they know what I'm talking about. You know what I'm talking about. You know what I'm talking about. Now, I'm hopeful because of you said 2016 is going to bring strategies, a new framework. You see, when we were enumerators, we went door to door, going in and out, collating information. Sometimes the dogs, they are barking at us, we run away, we say, no, there were five people that actually went, we never even arrived at the door, and so on. And then we get our first paycheck, we go home, and that's it. Now you've got new ways of compilation of data. Now, I also remember, we used to say, when a criminal enters the gates of Parliament and produces an identity document, if our assistants are accurate, there should be something on the screen that says, a wanted man, and we catch him at that time, and then we call the police, and that person is where they belong. Because one system will talk to another, you see. There's no person who can, while still married, obtain another marriage certificate and it's processed. I remember when my grandmother died, they said, never married. Now, I know there are companies that use a program to feel like that. You are the advanced data compilators. You might be using the most advanced system. Now, in a municipality in Heilbronn, where I come from, leave alone that there is nobody who is able to capture data, will they have a communication tool that will be able to be a feeder directly from there to your offices? I don't know. 2016 maybe might answer that question. To say when they punch in information, it feeds into the national feeder, and you are able to capture those without having to spend another millions of rands doing literal enumeration the way it has been done in the past 20 years. So I'm hopeful because of the presentation you made now in terms of that. But I will want the statistics
politician general to come into the space where we're going to close the gap between MTSF and the NDP. Because if you do not unlock that, it doesn't matter how many of this documentation you bring here and what you have done and achieved, it will not speak directly to, and you said it in your own words. You said, we compile information, we give statistics about what we've achieved, but it doesn't stop mass action. And if there's a person in my constituency in Burgersdorp doesn't understand and it has not made an impact there, where Eskom is about to actually measure about electricity, they will not understand that. So when we engage at a later stage, we will be able to speak to that we have been able to engage at that level to close that gap. Without wanting you to prefer the NDP over the MCSF, because they speak to one another. They are both important tools that will be able to address special disparities that have been created by governments. Now there's another link. Government has overemphasized on poverty alleviation. There's this one of inequality, and Makosi was speaking about ownership. Basically, I used to be lectured by a professor from Zimbabwe called Professor Mbeki. Professor Mbeki used to make fun of us. You members of parliament, you own nothing. You make a lot of noise. You've got beautiful BMWs and so on, and you look nice. You dress well. But you own nothing. You don't own even the means of production. So if we're talking about industrialization, but we employ people to be grass cutters for 3 months and they go back to the pool of unemployed, it's fine if you measure that. In that 6 million, there were 3 million grass cutters who only worked for 3 months. You see? And I looked at your investment patterns as statistics. South Africa, you invested in a university to try and get people who will be able to do this type of work. But I didn't see anything about UWC, you know, I don't want to talk about yours, I'm talking about UWC, all the money went to Stellenbosch. I don't have a problem with Stellenbosch, you know, but, you know, many people qualify to come to UWC, those who we might need more in future, honorable SG. So, I don't know, maybe it's Kifilo, I'm not sure. I was not there. I don't know. I'm just saying it. So the new challenge, and that's what you raised, that we'll need to measure expenditure to the GDP. And that tool must also be, we need also to be empowered with that ourselves here. To be able that when we look into that, will be able to understand that tool that measures expenditure to the GDP as part of influencing statistics. I don't want to take the whole thing because there are other speakers. That's what I'm saying. This letter wants us to engage with, because we'll then, if we do that, table both the NCSF and table the NDP and start the real measurement. And when we talk to what the auditor general has said, we'll be able to say that based on this and this, not what we have. And I know you try to make us look very beautiful all the time. Don't stop you. It's not only in the Zulus, you know, it's everywhere else. You know, you like Zulus, and I don't know your emotion to No, he's a Zulu himself, so I don't know. He's a Zulu, so I'm not going to listen to Zulus today. So basically, I'll look forward to that presentation, and it will help us to address some of these things. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chair. Let me also join the speakers who welcome the presentation, and I can see that the SG can still do the magic without the yellow suit, can still charm the community. So I wonder what it will happen when he has his yellow suit. plan and the APP items. But let me start by commenting on what the commentary has said about the issue of the criminal being identified if he comes here, just by mere having his or scanning his or her identity document. That can be effective. But when you present, you said your statistics are informed by the administration that are done or that are collected at that level of administration, department administration. I will make an example, interlink what you have said with what Tani has said. The SAPS, when we get reports by SAPS that the criminal or crime statistics have been reduced, we all celebrate. But as a person who is there at the ground, you want to relate what you are experiencing around you with what is being presented. Is this true? But also as a public rep and leading there, within the area where I come from, Mpumalanga, the border of Mpumalanga and Gauteng. I also come from Limpopo. Sebisuile municipality. And when you check around the area and the announcement of the crime statistics, you tend to believe that that is not true. Because people are at a stage where they are discouraged to report. And there's nothing you can do. You only rely on the report. SAPS also rely on the report. But the people within the system, are they assisting in making sure that when you make the plans as a department or as government or as a country, you are informed by those administrative results that are reliable? You know, crime is happening every day, actually day and night, because the house break-in, they even happen during the day where I'm staying. And when you talk to the people, they say, have you reported, what are the police saying? They said, no, we are discouraged, we are not interested anymore. But the other thing is, those who are interested to report, they are told, no, this is the menacing break, house break in, no, go and deal with it, or other things that are domestically related, they say, no, go and put it out. The reason when you follow up, why are they doing this, these police officers, is because they don't want to be in the red as a station. They want to remain green. And what is that doing to the country? They give wrong statistics. They give wrong information. And when you plan as a country, you are going to plan based on wrong information. So I have the same experience this time about the census. And I also went there. But the last one, the last one. I was staying in North Spring. And I stay with my extended family. And when they counted, I told my mom that at home, don't count us in, they will be counted here in North Spring. And we waited until it was over. They did not count. And I asked myself, how many other people have not been accounted in the report? So I'm saying, we need to strategize in making sure, but also a commitment from the administrators who are doing the actual work. Maybe I didn't have a dog, but if they were maybe afraid to come in, I did not have a dog like you experienced with. I did not have a dog. But coming back to the APP and the strike plan, under strategic outcomes, the number of the timeline question is checked. I'm making this comparison. Your targets 2015, 256, this is what you achieved. Compared to what you have put in the plan for 2015-16, 39,200. I'm asking myself, why do you target this low while you have achieved this much? Do you want to remain safe, the safety net, you know, so that you don't say you have not achieved at the end of the day? The number of days notification form process and the edited forms are used for mortality and the cause of death. For 2014-15, 560,000, and 2015-16, you are targeting 500. What is the rationale behind the reduction? Does this mean that as South African, you think we are now leading a healthy lifestyle, the mortality rate has increased? The life expectancy has increased down. People are no more dying. I don't know. I'm just thinking, trying to find the rationale behind the reduction. The other one that I want to raise, and I think somebody has spoken about it, the number of staff trained, it has drastically reduced according to your APP. And when you check 2011-12 financial year, it was 277, and 12-13, 71, 13-14, 46. Going forward in the MCF, you are planning 20 per financial year. Maybe one needs to understand why the reduction. Chair, let me finalize on this one. I'm also raising a concern in the reduction on the APP, that for performance contracts you are targeting 98 and expected 100%. The signing of the contracts, the performance contracts, also on the performance evaluation is 98%. Where is the 2%? There might be a reason, and I would like to understand why. The same as the cases that you plan or you're supposed to be dealing with, the grievances 30 days and the disciplinary cases 60 days. Maybe there are reasons that are causing delays, and one would like to know why. What are the reasons for the delays? Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Chair. I think I will follow on the Honourable Dikeledi's approach by first zooming into questions that are focusing on the threat set. My first question, Chair, is on the an indication here that the institution is intending to infect on the expenditure patterns. The institution apparently did understand, and this understanding seems to be consistent on the program on the economic statistics and the methodology and the standard and research programs. And if you look at these two programs, most especially the one on economic statistics, these are very, very critical programs, I mean, to ensure that we have some statistical products. Now, this under expenditure, I'm not sure what are the reasons behind it. And secondly, it indicated that SSA will be taking over the publication of the expenditure side of the GDP from the Reserve Bank. Now, my question is around the transitional aspects. What are the transitional questions to be addressed here, and how are they being addressed? And when can we expect this takeover to take place? And thirdly, Chair, the plan clearly indicates a projection, a decreased projection in the number of reports on corporate governance to the executive. But also, it clearly indicates the reduction on technical documents that are specifically meant to improve corporate governance from 3 to 4. So I think that there might be a good reason for that. And on the issue raised in the presentation by the SG about the KZN customer satisfaction survey, I'm more interested to know the funding model of such surveys, because if it works for KZN, definitely there might be an avalanche of demand from other provinces. So I'm not sure if that has been provided for in the budget vote that will be approving next week. So let's get to know the details of how is this survey funded. And, you know, I know the coordination thing has came out sharply from other panel members. And I hope at some stage we will overcome this challenge, because it's a coordination of the usage of what SSA or the statistics has produced by SSA. Linked to that is this issue of usage of central business frame and geospatial information frame. And I heard in your presentation this year indicating some commitment to make sure that it becomes central. So, but I didn't get the details of how is it intended to be realized, because I think it's very, very important that we definitely tap into this information, or maybe various organs and departments tap into this information. And the other issue, Chair, that came out of the presentation by the SG was the issue of having staff personnel in various government departments. I think that you had a friendly experience of is UK or USA, I'm not sure. I'm just interested to know where was this presented? Or maybe is there any resolution that was taken on this matter? And if there was a resolution, really, it will be easy for us, I mean, from the oversight perspective, maybe to pose question to the relevant department as to how far are they in implementing this particular resolution, if there was a resolution. Because I think this is one area that came out sharply in the last year presentation, the issue of capacity in various the capacity of departments to collate or maybe to generate their own statistical information that can be used, I mean, to complement the work done by SSA. So I think it's very important if we can get to know where was this presented, the SG, because we need to pose a question, why is it not implemented? And also, Chair, the issue of the, your responses to some of the recommendations that were made by this committee last time we appeared on this issue. There was a, in your response, you indicate that you forwarded a draft response to the accountant general
on that investigation of the 35.7 million. That was, of course, I mean, that is this expenditure was incurred on goods and services in the year 2011 and 2012. I just want to know when was this, when was the last time that we engaged the AG? Because it seems that since your draft response, you haven't heard anything from the Accountant General. I'm asking this because for us as a committee, it's very important to follow up with the said office. Why are they taking so long? I mean, to give feedback on this important, but it's quite a substantial amount of money for 35.7 million. It's quite a lot. I don't want to break it down into how many RCPs and how many service delivery issues can be covered by this. But I'm just saying we need to know why is it taking so long. And last, I think I said one before last, the issue of the building. What about the role of service? Because let's say you said there are some few lessons that can be learned from as how you handle this building project. What about your specific role? Because we don't expect you to be involved in building building. Because I thought that you are also like building department catered for the public works. So I just want to understand what was your role in this building project. But also, let's get to know the details of this project. It can't just be reported as a by the way. I know it came out, of course, in your set plan last time that you are going to do it. It's going to be done. But I don't think we ask this detailed question around your specific role in the building. But also, how much is this project costing? And also, is the project plan on course? I hear you say he seems to be doing it within record time. Is the project plan on course, or are there other issues that we need to take care of as a committee or to be brought to our attention? And maintenance cost of this particular project. Where can we locate it within this vote that will be approved next week? I mean, where is it provided for? And lastly, maybe on this one of you made mention of dealing with your own SSA statues. As a result, you are able even to observe your centenary celebration. Can you give us details? What are these statues? You don't want surprises. I mean, you are here, and the next thing you get surprises in the media about some statues that you don't know, but you don't know of as a committee. Give us info on these statues so as we know how you concluded logically on this particular matter comprehensively. Thank you very much.
The overall assessment, there might be some questions. What I want to draw to your attention is previously been very good in different sections in assessing and then saying these are questions the committee might want to. I notice you've been dropping that. That's quite important because you see at the end of the day, the committee has to guide you. Now, we've got a very limited time between today and Tuesday for you to finish the report. And I think we should spend a bit of time, members. We can have all these exchanges, but at the end of the day, what counts is what we say under recommendations and to some extent under observation. Because that's what we have to monitor. So, you know, there have been a million questions raised. And we'll be able to respond to all of them. Maybe we can get them in written form as well. But we have to focus on what it is this committee is recommending and how we're going to monitor the implementation in the subscription that were raised by the last two speakers particularly. What is it that we're going to do to monitor every quarter or wherever, even for half an hour to say, what are you actually doing as the SSA? Now over to you, Bridget. Do you have anything you want to raise?
Thanks, Chair. I don't really have anything to raise, Chair. I think a lot of the issue that I personally would have raised if it hadn't been raised before, by now would have been the issue of the cases that have to be investigated. Why can't all cases be investigated? And just the fact that some of the targets, there's a lot of good that that SSA is reporting on, and there's a lot of new targets, but then some of the targets that they've been implementing, especially when you look at the outcome for a capable organization, quite a few targets are dropping. And I don't know if that's because of the of financial implications, and I'm not sure if maybe it's part of the cost-cutting measures that the Minister of Finance has said should be done. I just felt that maybe there should be an explanation in terms of why some things are being cut. And then there was just one thing. I think it's, I'm not sure. I wanted to clarify if it's a misstatement, whether that consistency in terms of one target when you go to the strat plan and the APP, but then it looks like there's two reports that have to be done. But when you go to the quarterly targets, it indicates that there's 23 reports. So I wondered if maybe somebody trusted three by mistake, because if there's consistency in all documents and there's just one inconsistency, and then when you go to the quarterly targets as well, the final target, it shows that there's actually two reports instead of 23. So maybe that is just the one thing. I look at the page because I didn't really open the web plan yet. I'll come back when I open the page if that's fine.
There's far too many issues raised, contributions and questions, so I think I'll forego many of mine. I just want to make some observations. One is, Esti, I really want to compliment you for being frank. My own sense, very subjective, is that you've increasingly begun to say, this is how it is. I've observed you over the years. You might recall our paths crossed in different forms in this parliament and in another capacity I served in. And I think you must be commended for that. Not many SDGs in a developing society particularly would speak up the way you do. It's commendable, really. And I think it hasn't struck me before, but I think there's a lot of credence to be given to what you say. Although maybe it's out of temper with some reservations about the discrepancy between the medium-term strategic framework and the NDP. I think it's the first five-year round. It's good that you're doing this. I really think the committee must commend you for that. I also think that there are many things I would like, but you put them down at the bottom of the list. I would really like, for Bridget's sake and myself, to try to pull the report together, that a lot of the last two questions, I'm not sure why you choose this moment to do that, but anyway, because I want you to help us to shape the report, we want to be clear. The last two questions are some very precise questions about the strat plan and the last year's report and where we're going. I'd like to ask that you please focus on that in particular, because those are the things that will go into our report. I'd also like members, we must spend about 10 minutes because we haven't got time. Sorry, Marcos, you want to say something quickly?
No, sure. There was something. I'm just very much for raising the issues and Bridget, because there was something that I also wanted to get feedback on about those foreign nationals that were appointed on a contract basis when they were supposed to be paid or employed. They were supposed to be appointed on a contract basis, but they ended up being remunerated on a permanent basis or something like that. And probably it's going to be important as well as the committee to know about what is happening in respect of that, what is the progress regarding that.
Then I'll leave this other stuff. I'll come to Kusta. I'd like to ask you, given the way it looms over our country at the moment, have you got enough information or an assessment of the number of foreign nationals are in this country? What's your assessment of what percentage of those foreign nationals are here legally? Do you have some sort of breakdown of where they are, in the economy? I mean, there are all these father shops that people speak about, and and then the majority party in particular, where we recognize that there are legitimate foreign nationals here, and we have no choice but to treat them basically as South African citizens, but also recognize there are others who shouldn't be here, and we don't need to be apologetic about them not being here. And see, you know, those sort of things. So in short, the one thing that members need to apply our mind to is what do we say in the way of recommendation? In particular, about what is a persistent theme. You're saying it most stridently this year, and the members are also picking up a most strident theme. It is just not on, especially with the NDP. You have all this information, and very few people use it. Now, to come back to last year's report, we can't just ask you, what have you done since the last year? Let me report back to the committee what I've done as a chair on the commitments I made. Within 48 hours, as I recall it, I contacted the House chair, and I drew it to their attention, the statistics and what you are showing. Here's what we recall when we went to the strategy meeting of the chief of government. I also drew it to the attention of the chief whip. That look, what you are showing us about the de-skilling and the failure of this country to transform the skills base. I then also, you'll recall, we arranged for you to address the House chair. Unfortunately, the House chair, chairs of committees. Unfortunately, had you on the agenda and then discussions with others meant we had to move you. Then they decided that instead of you addressing just the chairs, which is what, only one of many things we suggested, they would slot you into the program in January this year for training. And I think they have done something like that. They've been you and the accounting Senate board. There's nothing more I can do. I have repeatedly raised to the House chair and whoever will listen to me that, look, we're getting the accounting Senate board in and we've got to, they asked for all the details of the accounting Senate board, remember? And then the program got postponed. So what I'm saying is that we did all of that, but I'm very interested to see that you have been addressing committees. And in fact, after you were here, you became far more perceptive of seen in the public domain with your figures. It was a big story which I was really pleased about. So from our side, we've done what we can. We asked you also, based on the question I think you raised, to go and address SELGA, you know, on this thing. We don't know that was done. Now, I have to focus because we have to do the report and give it to the members on your response, right? I don't think there's time to go through all of it. What I notice about your responses is that obviously there's a budget report of last year, also the theme to VRRR and it overlaps. Now, your reports, your replies are very comprehensive in the sense of the questions that you've taken, your replies to them very comprehensive, but you haven't addressed all the questions, right? And maybe we'll pick up again in our recommendations because we can't leave things hanging in the air. The committee cannot make recommendations and then not monitor that those recommendations are being implemented. Means then what is oversight, right? And then people can come here, you know, you'll make a lot of noise and then next year we'll ask something else. So we really need some sort of engagement between Bridget and your office in the next 24 hours to get responses to outstanding questions. Let's not deal with them here. Bridget can manage that. And Alan is here. And Estelle is here. Help Bridget, please. We must get this done by tomorrow noon. And so that we be fair to you as well. But there is one issue that does arise for us in respect of oversight. It came up yesterday, in fact. You see, if you look at our report last year, budget report 14, point 14, we say, the committee believes that government should make a decision soon on which ministry South Africa should fall under National Treasury or the Department of Planning, Monitoring and Evaluation in the Presidency. The committee believes it should be the latter. Now we see you are answerable to Minister Jeff Hare, right? But you are appearing before our committee. And I'm meeting the House Chair currently too. I want to raise this issue. It's very unusual. I don't know of an example like this. There is a committee that oversees the Presidency's Minister. That's the Public Service and Administration Committee. The decision came up last week, just to alert you, about state-owned enterprises. Now, who is going to have oversight of the SAA? The House Chair and I discussed the matter. A letter is going out to both the chairs concerned. That's to be our committee. So, what has happened about that? Do you know what is happening? And it's an anomaly that Parliament must address and the two ministers concerned. But I'll leave my other questions for now. I think really they're not going to contribute towards finalizing the report. Can we get your comments quickly, Bridget?
Chair, just on what I said I would come to, I think, I suspect this is a mistype on page 97 of the work plan. But I just thought maybe that it could clarify if I, because everything else is consistent to two reports except the one mistype. So I just don't want to assume that it's a mistype. And the other thing is there was a, in terms of the number of people going into the website and downloading things, there was a decrease, but I didn't raise it because I felt that maybe StatsSA doesn't really have control over who wants to look at statistics, but based on what you've just raised, that there's a lot of quality information and just for the information to be produced and not really be effective used as much as it could by the population. Maybe the StatsSA could also touch on that. Thanks, Chair.
Can members please, you can allocate 10 minutes, right, before the meeting ends, to guide the drafting of the report so we are clear what recommendations, to the extent we can be clear immediately, should be put in the report. But you see, SD, nothing prevents you from suggesting to the committee, and we will apply our minds to what you're saying, and saying, look, these are the things the committee can actually maybe do to put pressure on government, the three spheres of government, departments, and so on, to actually use your excellent work more effectively. Maybe the ideas you've got. I know you also have a role. We can recommend to you. You just think about it, Bridget and others. What would we recommend in our report to the SG that the SG does or the SSA does to also put pressure on all the relevant actors to use the information more effectively? Can we apply our minds to that and also you respond to that? Thank you. So it's 5:12. I think 25 minutes or so, is it okay?
Thank you very much. I have a team of people here who will help me to deal with the questions. Let me deal with the first one on the numbers that have been fixed, that this must be a typo. And indeed, it is a typo. Now, how does a statistician who is a man of numbers have such a dramatic error? Appears that it does happen. So thank you very much for feeding on that. And I have to start in the middle so that a member would leave. So I'm not sure how we are trying to structure the answers, because some of the answers have to be dealt with by other members from SSA. On the question of whether we have, it wasn't there on the, where do I start? The request that I should start so that in the middle is thrown me off balance. How can, yes, on the question of how can StatsSA influence government planning, how do we deal with issues of poverty, inequality, and unemployment as core issues that the NDP addresses? I think what we are trying to suggest to this Honorable House is that the focusing on the information helps us to bring the future we desire closer to ourselves and assemble these facts such that you can communicate with the public about the possibility of doing things. And providing this information as the evidence is the most critical thing so that we can mobilize society towards a particular goal, but also immediately start later, because without that, the discussion is all over the place and we cannot convince anybody that actually things are happening, or others will say actually things are not happening. So in terms of influencing the systems of government, we have to put systems of evidence at the heart of that. And then those systems must link with all the monitoring systems of government, and the linking between national, provincial, and local authorities as well as how the private sector and how government is perceived and seen as a beneficiary, are they actually benefiting? And so, closing the gap between the NDP and the MTSF is absolutely crucial. The point, however, is well made that this is the first 5 years, but I think the key problem is not so much about the first 5 years. Yes, maybe the first 5 years because we are experiencing the NDP for the first time. But it is the process by which we have looked at the NDP and then continue with business as usual. So you throw your problem into the NDP. No doubt, the problems of government cannot contradict the NDP. So rather than saying NDP is central, so go and review how you will implement the NDP as the key question. Rather than saying, is what I'm doing consistent with the NDP? Of course, it will be consistent with the NDP. But it is one thing to say it's consistent, it's another to say the NDP is the driving force, and therefore in terms of prioritization and coordination and pulling things together, this education is the most critical thing. Then it must be at which we say, if we are going to create 4,500 doctors a year, it shouldn't be expensive saying, well, I have 20 that I'm producing. No, it should be, in your sector, we expect so many. So what are you doing to do so? Now, the answer must come from the department and say, I'm doing this much in order to reach that. Not business as usual, I'm doing what I'm doing, and if it happens to coincide, it will coincide. So, the indicators and targets are absolutely crucial in terms of negotiating. So I think that closing of the gap has to happen, and that's the work that we are doing. What has got to the Free State instead of answering those questions? But let me quickly go through those. What are the other universities doing? In terms of what we have done to the Stellenbosch, the Center for Regional and Urban Innovation. The background in this method is very difficult in that we actually intended going to Northwest University. But the politics of universities were such that we couldn't actually go through. And the person that we the professor that we were working with, Stellenbosch got me and Snefsky, and he said that's where we'll run the program because that's where the intellectual resource has moved. So that's how we ended up in Stellenbosch. Maybe I have to move to your questions before you go, but now I haven't written your name against the questions. So in that way, I'm unable to jump to your section of the questions. Although I thought that I had kept the order such that I would be there. Now, how do we get administrative records to work for us? There's a very interesting example of local authorities. We asked local authorities from a service provision point of view, how many service points they have, like water, electricity, and so on. They have meter records and so on, and we need that information. So they responded. And it is statistics online, but when the numbers match exactly, when statistics is the science of estimation, then we begin to wonder what has happened. So we ask the question, what is the source of your data? They said the census, of course. So they gave us back the information that we have from the census record. So what we need from the administrative record is really a system that has integrity. And how we have to do this is to put in place, as the statistics office, a system that has integrity, first by self-assessment and so on, including, with the police, crime statistics. We are working with them very closely, and we are putting a system that should have integrity. And one of the things that have integrity is the statistics on murder. They are almost equal to the causes of death because there is litigation. So there are specific processes in our system that ensure and guarantee integrity. There are those where integrity is loose, quite loose. But when you measure it repeatedly, you'll start seeing the harms, and then you have to deal with those harms and say, what are the reasons for these harms? For instance, the two provinces that we have gone to, Eastern Cape and Limpopo, where the number of children who attend school are part of the border for a part of the, you know, the revenue. And so the numbers are exaggerated. We did enroll it there, and we found that, yes, indeed, there are quite a number of children that are, you will never find in class, and they are part of the revenue stream for the schools. And we've done that, or if they've given the report back to the provinces. But what was more important about this was an assessment of who are the teachers, what subjects are children choosing, and this is, I think, looking at the numbers is important, but more importantly, what are the children doing in class? And this study for both Limpopo and Eastern Cape was very revealing, and we have provided the reports to the respective provinces and the national ministry to look at what children are actually studying under what circumstances and so on, so that the policy interventions can be made, including those that have to keep registers of children that are in class every day. Because when they are attending school, you say sensei, absensei, and you never understood what that sensei and absensei meant. And change meant sensei meant present fair. Absensei meant absent fair. Change meant on that day you have gone, that one is not in class, they have gone to look after cattle. And they all can eat like that. So how many I can't even read my handwriting now. how do you improve the system that I have said really it's through use you can improve the system. There was a question on the target at 9,200 questions and 256, I think there's here, let's check that on the target. On the number of people who die, indeed, the mortality is declining 560,000 to 500,000. Those are the number of people that died, and that number is declining every year. So we are adjusting our targets in expectation of a projected decline. Staff training. Yes, we started an ambitious program of intention. We are a little bit, I would argue that we are a bit short on money, but we are also trying to refine our systems. So that when I say, I argue that if there are 200 people who retire from SSA every year, we must be able to recruit 200 from high school every year. And that's the plan. And it seems to be working, but we expanded quite heavily in 2000 at the beginning, and we are narrowing, but we are re-engineering that process in order that we comply with this recruitment from high school. So we are, in the meantime, as we negotiate our way into this, we will reduce the numbers somewhat. But they get a lot of pressure, for instance, to get staff working in other departments. So we have a problem that is, see that our rule is not here, Dr. Naidoo. Who does a lot of training here in Palau. Oh, there he is. I wasn't aware. I thought you had closed off. But the work that he does and the team of four that you see there are part of the team of 30 that he has taken through a year. And every year we think that we can deploy this 30 into other areas and another 30. Hopefully, his life expectancy should be longer. So we hope that, but it is a very practical way in which we are doing our work. and he's been doing a lot of work here in Parliament. The question of 98% targets, Honourable Van Rooyen, 30 to 60 days, I think this will be answered by Becky. Expenditure patterns on economics and methodology that has stayed where it is and more or less declining. I think the Becky will tell that. Corporate report on governance, that I think I'll leave for my colleagues to answer. Funding model for the KwaZulu-Natal, particularly KwaZulu-Natal. The funding, KwaZulu-Natal is providing the funding. But because we are going to benefit in terms of piloting our own instruments for the CS, we are bringing in our funds as well in there. Because we are testing these guidelines that we are going to use for the first part. So we are doing this jointly. The true cost be higher than the amount that KwaZulu-Natal has provided. We are putting 2 million, we are putting 2 million, so there's 4 million that we are putting in there, plus paid salaries of people that are regular, so that would work for that project. That's about 6 million to do it. If we were to do the same for the whole country, it would be like times 9 provinces, so that would be closer to 60 million, but even a benefit of scale that could actually reduce. And the premier has asked for it and said, well, we need to run this, we need it run by an independent organization which has methodologies that we can rely on. I think it's a practice that all governments, all the states should actually follow. The coordination of statistical production. The Bureau, for instance, in relation to geospatial and the business range. I must say that from 1998, when we started this register, it was very difficult, but there has been a major breakthrough. But I've asked our colleagues from SAS as well as CIPC, but it's not enough to say that we have made a major breakthrough. The important question is, why didn't we do it before? And we must answer that question. Probably as a case study. Was it egos? Was it tests? Was it what? What actually stopped us from making a major breakthrough now? What enabled it at this point in time? So there has been a major breakthrough in terms of that business frame. We are testing it for credibility in terms of drawing the samples and seeing whether the results that we get as from a survey program are similar to the SAS registers. But there is a lot of credibility in the numbers that are generated by that. But we must also remember that there is you sample on the basis of turnover, or you sample on the basis of number of people employed. Either way, you may confront a bias depending on what you want to achieve. So we are looking and testing the credibility and the validity of that, but there is a major breakthrough in terms of just looking at the number of people employed from the service that we run and number of people employed from the records that SAS receives. So we are having a working group, a joint working program between the Commissioner of SAS and the Commissioner of CIPC. And this major breakthrough was towards the end of last year. How do we get the state to working? I think that through the national statistics system, which includes the review of legislation. This legislation has been reviewed. When the PSLA was implemented, there were two conditions that made it successful. One, we had to have an audit, internal audit, and the audit committee. And those two pieces of legislation or instruments to ensure that the SMA is implemented helped us a lot to get going. It, however, didn't stop the audit qualifications happening, but at least those two are the basic blocks that should be in place before we start. legal rent, and we went back to the accountant general. I mean, I think the members will know that we provide, we put across a tender for payment of humanitarians, and that payment was paying over about, was it $1.5 billion rent to humanitarians. And the contestant and the nearest one was a bank, and it wanted to pay them $1 million. And I said over my head, coach, I've done this with humanitarians, you cannot do this task at any domain. There was a process that was very transparent, and there was a tender that was won by this company that got it okay, type me. Now, in the process of executing this, I'm not sure what made the accountant general unhappy about what he did. Now, he called for an investigation, and he said, go and investigate. We looked at the report, and the report which was said to be forensic was a lot of suppositions in it. And rather forensic, it must be saying, you found you guilty, or at least we are going to further investigate. But it was a lot of suppositions, and he said, well, we can't accept this number of suppositions, or perhaps, and no, we can't give it that. So we took it back to them and said, we are not accepting this report. So that's where they are now. I said, I'm not accepting this report, it's your report, but it is not finding liability in the organization or individuals who were involved in the allocation of this tender. And as myself, as the head of the organization, I would never, ever give a tender to $1 million bank that pays to run this. It is probably there were hidden costs, because they would charge other costs or cost the transaction, but those should have been explicit. So, to the best of my knowledge, having dealt with people who have to be paid $100,000 within a short period of time, this was the best deal ever got in terms of delivery of this project. So they have done a forensic test, and they haven't come with any person they could point to as liable. It was just a lot of suppositions. So we said, well, we can't act on the suppositions. The whole of the say in the building, and we, as I said, in 2005, thinking that we had a building by 2009. It didn't happen. We then resuscitated this in 2012 through a DPP. And let us say, formed a committee internally. The deputies adjudicated the different proposals that came with public works and then got this thing going. It supervised, we have a committee, we discussed with the concerned communities around, well, they do come and protest from time to time. We discuss with them the communities that are at Salvacop. And the thing is working very well. It is a $3 billion rent project. And it's a PPP project. But I think the key lessons here were we were always in the driving seat in terms of making sure that things happen and happen on time. And we would break all bottlenecks. The DG, Public Works, and myself and DG Blazer were in constant discussion on how we will make a breakthrough, and that's what shortened the period. And of course, the project manager, DG Henning, was easily a very tough taskmaster in this. Goods and services. Appointment of foreigners, and we needed to appoint, I mean, I think on our part we failed as an organization in terms of appointing, not following the right procedure, but the people that were appointed, two of them, were appointed and inherited from BOP where they were appointed, and you couldn't change the terms of their appointment. That is what happened. Other side of things where we appointed foreigners was when we had a census money sensors. Because yes, life is life, and then they have to do the humanity. We have tried to regularize this with the powers that be, so that it gets condonation.
The number of foreigners in the country, legal or illegal,
the statistics about who is foreign and who is not are public statistics that emanate from the census, and they are geographically demonstrated and distributed. And one of the things that is actually concerning the world these days is where you have see heterogeneity, you are likely to see problems. And by looking at distribution patterns that are of populations that are heterogeneous and they're moving in high fast, then you have to start flagging those as red spots, red flags, to put red flags on those, because we are likely to see things happening. So the forces of state have access to this data. They should have used it much earlier in order to anticipate and deal with things. And unfortunately, like all data, data doesn't get used as a, there's no cultural use of evidence. And that's a consequence of that. We have this kind of problem. But we have a wealth of data that can be used by state agencies to understand where problems will arise and applying constitutional means of addressing them. Now I have to get back to the first set of questions, which I think at MDP and MTSF at the level of provinces and municipalities, indeed it's going to be very challenging, but we have a program by which we are doing that. We have a system by which we are evaluating the indicators, the IDPs. We have a SWAT team through Dr. Naidu and his team that goes to municipalities and train. We have this same team working with treasury and training people on the data sets that are there and their application. So there is a process of conscientization and ensuring that not only saying that we download the data, what we also say is that should you have shortages of staff, there are these people that you have trained, you can leave them here with you, you can work with them, and we are looking at mechanisms of ensuring that probably there are funds that are allocated to test the same, so that you can train, and then to put it back, the staff to the department that are providing such funding. But that model requires a formal process. It can't be that it's a volunteer. Do it when you wish, but we need to formalize that model. But it is a very successful model that we are working with. Indeed, chapter 6 of the NDP, it is a worry on rural development. How do you get the kind of, how do you organize the data such that it advises on rural development? And there, that's where you see a lot of, at times, very many parks and dwellings. I mean, if you go to Queenstown, there are all these other places, RDP houses there, the very many parks and dwellings. So how do we decide who gets an RDP house? That Marshall Plan requires a single mind to ensure that houses are built where they will be needed in the future. But I think it was important, it was implemented as a social justice instrument rather than an economic development instrument. So we need to look at those and say, well, then what do we do? That is continuing, the sprawling towns are continuing. Monitoring and evaluation, yes, indeed, we are working together with monitoring and evaluation to see where these gaps are and how we should plug them and ensure that the NDP is the prime driver. And of course, the legislative reform
And indeed, we welcome the advice on looking at other legislations, such as the dollar, to ensure that we solve the problems. We are under the same ministry, under the same minister, BPME and SSA. So I think that the relations, although we are under the same minister, though we act very autonomously, but we are formalizing those relations. Because I think one of the key problems that the minister found when he got into his position was, do I make sense of this monitoring and evaluation and the statistics? How do these things think? And that was the major concern he has been having all the time. And I think we are getting that as well. So there is a formal up. And in the next 3 weeks, we should have gotten these indicators, the gaps identified fully, way forward on alignment, so that in July, there is a process by which this is doing that. The profile of housing, the slide that we have, yes, in the information we'll provide that kind of the data. I mean, we can go into the census report and then we'll provide that profile of who are occupying the dwellings. And indeed, the issue of ownership of both the land and the house are very important investable capital. If you don't own the land, you cannot mortgage, you cannot do anything. So one needs to secure those processes. And I'm sure legislators will have to look at that as whether that can be unlocked and enable development. Increasing the use of statistics, I think that Dr. Nairi is doing a very good job in terms of just driving this process, but we need to replicate it, we need to be in schools, we need to be in universities, we need to get the syllabi right in ensuring that this statistics is taught in schools and at high schools. And of course, structuring of relationship with statistical units elsewhere, that needs legislative reform, because the legislation is quite quiet there. And what is happening there is that the UK actually has reviewed its act in the last 5 years and has now a very forceful environment within which it applies the statistics. Not only is there the Statistics Authority, the National Statistics Office, but the statewide statistics system. And in South Africa, we need that, like yesterday, part of the reform is to ensure that there is a statewide statistics system. In relation to economic statistics and price stability, statistics that relate to price stability, what we need and which we destroyed when we came in 1995 are a few things. The one we destroyed the marketing board. And as we got this marketing board destroyed, they went with the information system. And there is not the way in which you can get information, because now this information is personalized in individuals, because the marketing boards are no longer there. There was this levy that is paid to municipalities, regional services levy, that was the source of information for statistical purposes. But when this was removed with a direct, that source of information disappeared. Now I can list all these things where sources of information are done. So we need, before we change anything, to look at implications for statistics in the memo that has been cabinet or anything, so that what we can think through what should replace that. And we need systematically. So there's a lot that has been destroyed in terms of administrative records since then. Now, the other part that we destroyed, and Mark and I were responsible for this, was Mark was my predecessor.
product statistics. And product statistics was destroyed because people were never complying, and when it came late. Now, in the absence of product statistics, your industrialization strategy cannot work because you don't know what product to manufacture. And part of the problem, again, is there are, in the work that you are doing yourself in terms of the GDP project and the GDP, expenditure side of the GDP, what we are looking at there is to revive the product statistics so that each unit, like we collect consumer price index, comes, when you calculate that you work on a loaf of white bread, sliced bread, that's the level at which detail you work on when you look at consumer price index. And that consumer price index is the statistics of cycle. Now, structure statistics, you have to do the same for products so that you can influence your industrial production strategy. We need to get those back on track. So that requires a lot of reorganization. The second thing that we need to do in relation to this is export, import, and export numbers. And between SARS and revenue, between SARS and FARC, South Africa Reserve Bank, the gross domestic product expenditure size of that product will guarantee that you can start looking at the products themselves, the imports. And in the imports, we need to know each import. Revenue services is interested in revenue. And they may not be interested in the detail of the product that has been imported. Statisticians are interested in the detail of the product that is being imported. And SARS is interested in the balance of things. Now, working together, we must be able to look at product classification at the most detailed level, because that then can feed into your industrialization strategy. So those are the things that this GDP project will catalyze. And those are the new forms of information that we'll be working on. I think, honorable members, I've tried to, as far as is possible, answer the questions that my colleagues here will answer the questions on the detail of the governance area. I have Bejima Tunzwa, who is a CFO, and so Bejima, you have had the questions that have been asked, and you are likely to answer some of them. But remember to talk slowly.
Even more importantly, briefly, we've got less than 15 minutes, 17 minutes left. We really need guidance because of the. We should draw attention to the difficulty of meeting with you so late. I understand you're not available. But Ellen, we can't have the situation where 5 days, working days before debate, we have the SD. So, I mean, you did explain to me. The difficulty is we need some guidance on what we're going to have in the report. And so, can you be very brief, please? Because Bridget's available to your office to fine-tune things between now. So, I'm giving you at most 3 to 4 minutes. And that's it. And then members will guide us on what we're going to put in our report.
Thank you, gentlemen. On the question of the expenditure patterns and our spend on economic steps and methodology. The reason why the percentage is mainly under compensation, whereby the representatives, because they need specialized skills, so they have not always been able to fill those post-time. That's basically the reason why there was a thing, but that money was actually shifted through environment, as I think I reported last time when we were here. So that's what accounts for the percentage. It's mainly on compensation for the skills that they did not present for methodology, as well as economic steps. Then, and I remember asked for details of the expenditure for the new planning as well. As the chairman, we have asked for details. Maybe we can actually make those details through ma'am, but I know the contribution from CC was about 650, for capital contribution was about 650 million. However, there will be, once you move into the building, there will be a payment, what you call it, such as unitary payment or initial fee. This is basically like a finance, it will take a short finance lease. So it's not like we are buying the building outside, so it's just co-financed by CC and other state partners. The bank is also involved in this regard. So the details will be made available. And you ask where are you going to see this in the budget? It is under program one, so that's where you're going to find it. But you can actually try and actually find a way to report through the recording of member. But you can make it available to the committee in writing in terms of how the speed is, how much is for the new building, for the all the 3 years in terms of how we're going to pay. That information is available. We can make it available. But then that's basically, and then there's other issues around the targets on the corporate services, why they're dropping. I'm aware that in some instances we actually engage with strategy, whereby we look at some of the targets that were not necessarily of strategic nature. So we had to kind of review them and actually shift those that were of strategic nature. For example, some reports that we're doing, but they were initially internally focused. So we thought they're not necessarily need to be in the strategic level. That's why we see some of the targets going down in terms of regard to corporate in particular. Yeah.
Dealing with very concrete issues that will help us with the report. Is there anything else you want to say?
I think basically that was the agenda of the question about why investigating, I think the SGS touched on them, but some investigators, of course, they depend on the information actually, as they are going out there, they rely on the responses of the people being investigated. So that also contributes to the delay in terms of, for example, the investigation. So that's again another touch on that. That's the reason. But of course, if there's further information required, we'll make it available.
Okay. Is there any concrete set of questions that were put that members want a response to that they've already raised and haven't got? Well, we find the responses so far. We recognize it's a limited time period, and you could speak, I know, for days if you have to. Is there anybody else from your side who wants to add anything quickly before we bring this matter to the next phase of what do we put in our report? Anything else? No. Right. Colleagues, can we actually just reflect, what would we say? Can I also bring attention to the fact that maybe I should switch this off?
Now to put it,
frankness and accuracy of his reporting on where things are. We don't necessarily always agree with you, obviously, because we are politicians. And you're the SG. What you're doing is right for an SG. What we will do is right for politicians. We're playing different roles. If you will see this here and here, you will probably think like us. If you will see there, hopefully we'll think like you. So there we are. Now, the next thing is, what else are we saying? Some of the questions raised by Kikilevi and Tez will have to go in, right? And we have to recommend and so on. Now, what are the other issues? What do we want to recommend? Makosi?
Sure, I think the issue around the underutilization or ineffective use of statistics, I think that's going to be absolutely critical. And what is coming out from the SGE, well, I don't like this, that, you know, the statewide statistics reforms, I really, really think that needs to find expression in our own report. Because what is the use of spending this time of money and so forth, and we don't create an enabling environment that is going to ensure that we achieve our desired outcomes. Thank you.
Now, what would we recommend? Remember, Brigitte Marat, we have to recommend to... You see, the recommendations can't just be only to the SSA. It has to be to the executive as a whole. It has to be to our minister, who must assist the SSA to do the thing the committee feels. So unless our minister fully, I actually think my own sense is the next year will be our minister necessarily, we don't know. But for now it's our minister, we will put pressure on him and the executive. What can we recommend in the report?
I also think that, Chair, we need to support and recommend that the product statistics be, you know, supported by everyone, because that, to me, you know, oversight is not just about really punching holes. It's also about creating an enabling environment. And I think this is absolutely critical, because without that product statistics, how are we going to drive this industrialization?
That's another theme that's coming up, Bridget. What you can do is ring Makosi over the phone and just get clarity if you want more stuff, so that when you come with your draft, we've got Makosi's views in it already. And I'm sure to a large extent, if not wholly, she'll be representing the views of at least the majority party, right? Now, what else are you going to put in the report? David?
Chairperson, just to comment with regards to the emphasis on the change of legislation, perhaps putting more flesh to the bone in terms of what is expected from different departments in terms of legislation, aligning it to the NDP and the strategic outcomes in village. To emphasize that point. And perhaps I'm not quite sure how to take it forward in terms of which legislation, but certainly within the financial domain, what is expected of us in terms of certain legislation, just a recommendation perhaps to be broadened in that regard.
In the spirit of collegiality, is there anything you think the committee should focus on, or your team?
Thank you very much. Let me appreciate the invitation. Indeed, what we think critically is that the legislative processes, in particular, there are five areas. The first one is the statewide statistics service. We need that, and for that to happen, we'll need training on it, but that has to be, I think it should be supported. The second part of the legislation that needs to is the authority to exact compliance. Obviously, in the trade where one is, you are both a very beautiful face, but we also have to enforce compliance. But we cannot move without compliance. So we need that compliance. Those, I think, are the two major forces in the legislation. Of course, there is data revolution. We talked to that in terms of the use of other sources of data. There is the issues of the statewide statistics system, which is ensuring that it is a statistics service. And then there is the issue of protocols, how do we deal with
of what is the authority of the statistician general and protocols and relationships with other government departments. So the review of the legislation is it's very, very critical for us to move forward. And of course, the question of statistical geography. Because that's where a lot of spend is done across states. Unless we shape our statistical legislation to embrace as a matter of course geography, it's going to be very, very difficult. Because you see here, we measure things across time. So inflation, I'll tell you that by this month it was that. But when you bring spatial into it, the configuration is very different, the understanding is different, it is more revealing, it is action-oriented, it talks to real people. And so spatial is a very powerful instrument for driving change, and in particular, national development plan. I think the major shift, which does not engage statistics of cycles, which is inflation, growth, and so on, is statistics of structure. And the NDP requires statistics of structure. And that's where administrative records become absolutely important. So driving the legislation to ensure that happens is very important. And even before the legislation is passed, but practices have to start moving in that direction. I think that those for us will be the most important. And of course, use as the honorable MPs actually said.
Well, can I ask a question? Would we be able to have what you call a statewide service? I mean, other developing countries, do they have it? Sorry, do you want to say something?
The beauty of this is that the funds, the fiscus is within the state. So the problem is sitting in different pockets and different studies are being conducted. So it's very, very wasted. So it needs to be rationalized. I mean, the appropriation, for instance, in Australia and other countries, increasingly the statistician general sits on the elbow of the people who allocate budget. And just like there is an overlap. I mean, if you look at GIS, the power of that is in the remote sensing and the images. But it gets more powerful when you blend it with the data about people through the statistics. So there is the intersection. And that intersection is so crucial, and that's what we want legislation to say in terms of spatial statistics, that intersection. And why this is so? It's simply because every space, every point on the surface of the earth is unique. So if you report on the basis of uniqueness of things, you improve your quality immediately. So nobody will tell you that you've been investing this money. You will be able to say, what did that money do in that space? At the moment, there's a report, it aggregates that are not spatially related. So the collection and correction of statistics must of necessity be spatial. That will change the way we do things, and that's the game changer, and that has to be embedded in the legislation. So it's not additional money. It's rationalizing resources within the state and ensuring that the information systems actually realize the resources that are existing within the state. There might be an additional, but I think that they are all in the state.
There's a lot of waste that is taking place within the state. Just to dramatize it a little bit, every municipality would want to do what you call customer satisfaction planning.
Yeah.
And they will employ different consultants who are using different methodologies, and then the ultimate result of the outcome of the survey cannot be compared inter-municipality. And if you have this centralized,
in an institution that has got the capability of producing this product, you actually get a much more sane product with very little resources as compared with various other spending that is taking place. So across all of government institutions, there are activities taking place. At the end of the day, producing statistics that cannot be classified as official, because there's a special standard that needs to be employed to ultimately pronounce a set of numbers as official. So we're moving in that direction, and we need the support of the House to ensure that we are able to get to that space where each and every set of numbers produced by an organ or state will ultimately be classified as official for it to be used for policy decision making.
No, sir. Very, very quickly, I think this point should go into your report.
Yeah,
I was going to raise.
Yeah.
Yeah. The policy review process, I mean the legislation review process, how far is it? Because as you present it to us, I think that in our report we must then indicate how we take it forward. How far is this process? Was it ever presented to the cabinet, or is it something that we are still mooting? I'm not sure.
So it's been presented to cabinet, and cabinet said, go ahead. We are expecting, we have started the process of consultations. We are looking at submitting it to, following the process, going to the House before the House rises at the end of next year. So probably by November, end of this financial year. So by November, December, we think that the amendments will have been made. So that's the kind of time frame that we are looking at. We have to report back to cabinet in end of July, having now consulted. On the GDPE, you asked what is this expenditure side of the GDPE. We have been training people for 2 years. They are running parallel service and producing experimental numbers. We are confident that by March we will launch the real numbers with the team at FSA. The bank and ourselves are working cordially on this. So that's where we are on this end. I think the issues would be, will we get the numbers right? We have consulted with the business community and said it's only rational to use for FSA to produce the expenditure side. It was an anomaly that the bank was producing them, because the bank is an interested party in the numbers. Now, for them to produce, be a producer of that was an anomaly. So they are removing that moral hazard. But we also have a very strong team in the organization that is working on this. If you see our bill on consultants, we actually invested on the consultants to train. He's a retired Canadian and retired Australian. We have been in this business for a long time, investing in this, and we are continuing with the training so that we deal with a good draft of people.
Basically, Bridget here again with endorsing this proposal for a statewide service, and we would like the bill. The latest changes to be expedited, right? Something like that in the report. Okay. If any of you got any recommendations, you can either email it to Bridget or phone her and just give her your ideas, right? So it'll fast track the process. Thank you, everybody. Thank you in particular to your team. Thank you.